Here is the complete podcast episode transcript. Introduction. Welcome to the Inquiring Minds podcast, where we dive deep into the latest scientific discoveries. I'm your host, Tom.
And I'm Jen. On today's episode, we'll be exploring a fascinating new paper that proposes a novel approach to model selection in autoregressive time series analysis.
The paper is titled Bridging AIC and BIC, a new criterion for autoregression, and it was authored by Jia Ding, Vahid Tarak, and Yuhong Yang.
This paper introduces an exciting new model selection criterion that aims to combine the strengths of two classic approaches, the Akaika Information Criterion, or AIC, and the Bayesian Information Criterion, or BIC. As we'll discuss, the proposed method can adaptively achieve either consistency or efficiency depending on the underlying true model.
The authors demonstrate that their new criterion has significant advantages over the traditional AIC and BIC methods, especially when dealing with real-world datasets where the true model structure is unknown. This could have major implications for how researchers approach model selection in time series analysis across a wide range of fields.
It's a thought-provoking study that blends statistical theory with practical applications. Let's dive in and unpack this paper in detail, Vahid.
So Jen, let's start by talking about the core problem this paper is trying to address. What are the key challenges around model selection for autoregressive time series models?
Great question, Tom. The main issue is that in real-world applications, the true order or complexity of the underlying autoregressive process is usually unknown. Researchers have to rely on model selection techniques to determine the appropriate order of the AR model to fit the data.
Exactly. And the two most widely used approaches, AIC and BIC, each have their own strengths and weaknesses, don't they?
That's right. AIC is known to be an efficient criterion, meaning it tends to select models that have good predictive performance, even when the true underlying model has an infinite or very high order relative to the sample size.
But the trade-off is that AIC is not consistent. It doesn't necessarily converge to the true model order as the sample size increases.
Precisely. On the other hand, BIC is a consistent criterion. It will asymptotically select the true model order, provided the data was actually generated from a finite order autoregression.
The problem is that in practice, we often don't know whether the true model is finite or infinite order. So researchers are left having to choose between the efficiency of AIC or the consistency of BIC, without a clear way to know which one is more appropriate for their particular dataset.
Exactly. That's the key challenge the authors set out to address with their new model selection criterion. They wanted to develop a method that could adaptively achieve either consistency or efficiency, depending on the underlying true model structure.
So how did they go about doing that? Can you walk us through the key ideas behind their new criterion?
Sure, let me explain. The core insight of the paper is that the AIC and BIC approaches represent two extreme ends of a spectrum. AIC focuses solely on predictive performance, while BIC focuses solely on identifying the true model order.
And the authors hypothesized that there might be an intermediate approach that could balance those two priorities.
Exactly. The new criterion they propose is called the Parametricness Index, or PI. The basic idea is to introduce a tuning parameter that allows the method to smoothly transition between the AIC and BIC approaches.
I see. So how does this PI criterion work in practice?
Well, the technical details get a bit complex, but the high-level intuition is fairly straightforward. The PI criterion calculates a score for each candidate model that incorporates both the model's goodness of fit and a penalty term that grows with the model complexity.
And the key is that the weight placed on that complexity penalty can be tuned via the parametricness index. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. When the parametricness index is set to a low value, the PI criterion behaves more like the efficient AIC approach. And when the index is set higher, it becomes more akin to the consistent BIC method.
I see. So in a sense, the PI criterion allows the researchers to adaptively find the right balance between model fit and model complexity, depending on the characteristics of their particular dataset.
Exactly. The authors show that this adaptive behavior is a major advantage of the PI criterion. When the true model has a finite order, the PI method will converge to the BIC-like consistent behavior. But when the true model has an infinite or very high order, the PI method will shift towards the AIC-like efficient behavior.
That's really clever. So the PI criterion is essentially trying to bridge the gap between AIC and BIC, combining their respective strengths in a flexible way. I can see how that could be incredibly useful for real-world applications.
Absolutely. The authors demonstrate through extensive simulations and case studies that the PI criterion outperforms both AIC and BIC across a wide range of scenarios. It's able to adaptively find the sweet spot between model fit and model complexity, without requiring the researcher to make an upfront choice between efficiency and consistency.
That's really impressive, and I imagine this kind of adaptability could be especially valuable when dealing with complex, messy real-world datasets, where the true model structure is often unknown.
Exactly. In those situations, the PI criterion provides a more robust and flexible approach than simply defaulting to AIC or BIC. It can automatically adjust its behavior to extract the best possible insights from the data.
That's fascinating. So what are some of the key theoretical results the authors establish around the properties of this new PI criterion?
Well, they prove some important asymptotic properties. For example, they show that when the true model has a finite order, the PI criterion is consistent, meaning it will converge to selecting the correct model order as the sample size grows.
And on the other hand, when the true model has an infinite or high-order structure, the authors prove that the PI criterion achieves efficiency, with predictive performance that's asymptotically equivalent to the best possible candidate model.
Precisely. So in a sense, the PI criterion adaptively achieves the best of both worlds. Consistency when the true model is finite, and efficiency when the true model is more complex. That's a really powerful capability.
Absolutely. And I imagine that kind of adaptability could be hugely valuable across a wide range of time series modeling applications, from finance and economics to signal processing and beyond.
Definitely. The authors showcase some compelling real-world case studies, like applying the PI criterion to modeling electricity demand and stock price dynamics. In those examples, the PI method outperformed both AIC and BIC, highlighting its practical advantages.
That's really exciting. This paper seems to present a fundamentally new way of approaching model selection that could have major implications. I'm curious to hear your overall thoughts and reflections on this work.
You know, I'm really impressed by the elegance and ingenuity of this new PI criterion. The authors have managed to take two well-established model selection approaches, AIC and BIC, and synthesize them into a single, more powerful technique.
I agree. I love how they've essentially created a dial that can smoothly transition between the efficiency of AIC and the consistency of BIC, depending on the needs of the particular dataset. That kind of adaptive flexibility is incredibly valuable.
Absolutely. And the fact that they've been able to prove such strong theoretical guarantees around the asymptotic properties of the PI criterion is really compelling. It suggests this isn't just an ad hoc heuristic, but a principled statistical methodology with a deep mathematical foundation.
Yes, the way they've bridged the theoretical gap between AIC and BIC is quite remarkable. It really underscores the value of rigorous mathematical analysis in developing new statistical techniques.
Definitely, and I'm also impressed by how they've demonstrated the real-world applicability of the PI criterion through those case studies. Seeing it outperform the classic approaches on messy, practical datasets is a great validation of the method.
Agreed. It's one thing to have a clever theoretical idea, but actually showing it works well in practice is a whole other challenge. The authors have done an excellent job of marrying the theoretical and empirical aspects of this work.
Absolutely. My only minor critique would be that the technical details of the PI criterion itself are still quite complex and dense. I imagine it could be a bit daunting for some practitioners to fully wrap their heads around the mechanics.
That's a fair point. The authors have done a good job of providing high-level intuition, but delving into the nitty-gritty mathematical formulas may require a fairly sophisticated statistical background.
Right, but perhaps that's the trade-off for developing such a powerful and flexible technique. The underlying theory may need to be somewhat intricate to achieve that level of adaptability and performance.
A fair trade-off, in my opinion. And the authors have made a concerted effort to explain the key ideas in an accessible way, even if the full technical details require more statistical expertise.
Absolutely. Overall, I'm really excited about the potential of this PI criterion. It feels like a significant step forward in model selection methodology, with broad applicability across so many domains that rely on autoregressive time series analysis.
I couldn't agree more. This is the kind of work that can have a real, tangible impact on how researchers and practitioners approach the critical task of model selection. It's an excellent example of how rigorous, innovative statistical research can lead to powerful new tools for solving real-world problems. Conclusion.
In summary, the paper Bridging AIC and BIC, a new criterion for autoregression, introduces a novel model selection approach called the Parametricness Index, or PI, that combines the strengths of the classic AIC and BIC methods.
The PI criterion adaptively tunes the balance between model fit and model complexity, allowing it to achieve either consistency or efficiency depending on the characteristics of the underlying true model. This provides a flexible, robust solution for real-world applications where the true model structure is often unknown.
The authors have established strong theoretical guarantees around the asymptotic properties of the PI method, proving its consistency when the true model is finite order, and its efficiency when the true model is more complex. And they've demonstrated its practical advantages through compelling case studies.
Overall, this paper represents an impressive synthesis of statistical theory and practical applicability. The PI criterion is a powerful new tool that could have a transformative impact on how researchers approach model selection in time series analysis across a wide range of disciplines.
Absolutely. It's an exciting development that bridges the gap between the classic AIC and BIC approaches, and opens up new possibilities for extracting insights from complex, real-world datasets. We'll be keeping a close eye on how this innovative method gets adopted and applied in the years to come.
Definitely. This is the kind of cutting-edge statistical research that can lead to significant breakthroughs. We're thrilled to have had the chance to dive into this fascinating paper with all of you. Thanks for joining us on Inquiring Minds.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Here is a silly anti-gravity commercial that could exist as a result of the Bridging AIC and BIC podcast episode, commercial. Are you tired of being weighed down by traditional model selection methods?
Introducing Parametric Lift, the adaptive anti-gravity solution for your autoregressive time series needs.
Using cutting-edge parametricness index technology, Parametric Lift can seamlessly transition between the efficiency of AIC and the consistency of BIC.
That's right. Just dial in the perfect balance of model fit and model complexity for your dataset. No more being anchored to outdated, one-size-fits-all approaches.
Fly high with Parametric Lift, the only anti-gravity system backed by rigorous statistical theory and real-world case studies.
Don't settle for models that drag you down. Experience the freedom of adaptive model selection with Parametric Lift.
Available now for a limited time at a special introductory price. Parametric Lift, elevate your time series analysis to new heights. Disclaimer, Parametric Lift is not intended to replace professional statistical consultation. Side effects may include sudden model convergence, loss of sample size, and an irresistible urge to buy stock in autoregressive companies. Ask your statistician if Parametric Lift is right for you. Here is the complete podcast episode transcript. Hello and welcome to the Cutting Edge Compendium. I'm Tom, here with my co-host Jen.
And we're excited to dive into another fascinating research paper with you all today. The title of the paper we'll be discussing is a martingale analysis of first passage times of time-dependent Wiener diffusion models.
This paper explores the mathematical properties of a type of stochastic process called a time-dependent Wiener diffusion model, which has all sorts of important applications in fields like psychology, neuroscience, and decision-making.
That's right, Tom. The researchers used a powerful mathematical technique called martingale theory to derive some really useful analytical expressions for key properties of these time-dependent diffusion models, like the probability of making a particular decision and the average time it takes to reach a decision.
Exactly. And as we'll see, being able to calculate these properties analytically, rather than just through numerical simulations, can provide a lot of valuable insight into how decision-making processes unfold over time. It also opens the door to optimizing the speed-accuracy trade-off in certain decision-making tasks.
Absolutely. So let's get into the details of this paper. The researchers were looking at a model of decision-making where evidence is accumulated over time in a noisy, biased random walk sort of way. This evidence accumulation process is represented by a stochastic differential equation, with a drift term representing the bias and a diffusion term representing the noise.
Right, and the classic version of this model assumes that the drift and diffusion parameters stay constant throughout the decision process. But the researchers were interested in situations where those parameters might change over time. For example, if the quality of the evidence being accumulated changes, or if there's increasing time pressure to make a decision.
Exactly. To capture this time-dependent scenario, they generalized the standard model into what they call a multi-stage process, where the parameters can shift at different points in time. This adds a lot more complexity to the mathematics, but the payoff is that you can now model a much richer variety of decision-making situations.
And that's where the martingale theory comes in. By identifying the right martingales, which are special types of stochastic processes with some nice mathematical properties, the researchers were able to derive closed-form expressions for the key statistics of interest, like the probability of hitting the upper versus lower decision thresholds and the mean decision time.
Exactly. Rather than having to rely on numerical simulations or approximate methods, they were able to get exact analytical formulas. And as we mentioned, this opens up a lot of possibilities for optimizing and analyzing these decision-making models.
For example, one of the applications they discuss is using these results to find the combination of decision thresholds that maximizes the overall reward rate, that is, the trade-off between decision accuracy and decision speed. This is a really important problem in the field of decision-making, and having these analytical tools makes it much more tractable.
Absolutely. And the great thing is, the researchers didn't just stop at the basic multi-stage model. They also showed how their methods can be extended to handle time-varying decision thresholds, which is another important real-world consideration. So they've really provided a very versatile and powerful mathematical framework for analyzing these types of stochastic decision-making processes.
Definitely. And I think one of the key takeaways is just how valuable this martingale approach can be. By identifying the right martingales and leveraging the optional sampling theorem, the researchers were able to sidestep a lot of the technical difficulties that often arise when dealing with these kinds of time-dependent stochastic processes.
Absolutely. And I think it's a great example of how sophisticated mathematical tools can unlock important new insights, even in relatively applied domains like decision-making research. The ability to get analytical expressions for these key statistics is just hugely valuable, both for advancing our theoretical understanding and for informing practical applications.
Exactly. This is really cutting-edge work that opens up a lot of new directions for research. I'm excited to see how these methods get applied and extended in the future, as researchers continue to explore the rich dynamics of time-dependent decision-making processes.
Me too, Tom. This has been a fascinating look under the hood of a really powerful mathematical framework for studying decision making. I think listeners will agree that the researchers have made some important contributions here, both in terms of the theoretical insights and the practical applications.
Definitely. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Cutting Edge Compendium.
Bye everyone.
Are you tired of making the same old decisions day in and day out? Well, have we got the product for you.
Introducing the Time Switch, the revolutionary new device that lets you control the flow of time itself.
That's right, with the Time Switch, you can speed up or slow down the decision-making process, giving you the perfect balance of speed and accuracy every time.
Whether you're a high-stakes trader, a military strategist, or just someone who hates waiting in line, the Time Switch is a game-changer.
Just strap on the Time Switch headset, and you can manipulate the drift and diffusion parameters of your decision-making neural circuitry. Boom, instant optimization.
Feeling rushed? Slow down time and take all the time you need. Struggling with noisy, biased information? Crank up the signal-to-noise ratio and watch the decisions flow like water.
The Time Switch, brought to you by the cutting-edge researchers behind a martingale analysis of first passage times of time-dependent Wiener diffusion models. Because who needs a mere stopwatch when you can control time itself?
Order your Time Switch today. Supplies are limited, and the first 100 customers get a free time-traveling DeLorean.
The Time Switch, take control of time, take control of your life.
Time Switch, because the future is now.
Intro music. Welcome to the Quantum Leap podcast, where we dive into cutting-edge research and make complex science accessible and engaging. I'm Tom.
And I'm Jen. In today's episode, we'll be exploring a fascinating paper that uncovers new analytical solutions to a modified Black-Scholes equation with the European put option.
This research, conducted by mathematician Juan Ospina at EAFIT University in Colombia, tackles a long-standing challenge in mathematical finance, bridging the gap between real-world option prices and the theoretical predictions of the standard Black-Scholes model.
That's right, Tom. The Black-Scholes equation is a cornerstone of modern finance, providing a framework to estimate the prices of financial options. However, in practice, the real-world prices of these options often deviate significantly from the theoretical values given by the standard Black-Scholes equation.
Absolutely. Juan Ospina and his team recognized this issue and set out to develop a modified version of the Black-Scholes equation that could better capture the complexities of the financial markets. And their findings are truly remarkable.
Let's dive in and explore the details of this groundbreaking research. The paper focuses on the case of the European put option, which gives the holder the right to sell an asset at a predetermined price, known as the strike price, on or before a certain expiration date.
The researchers start by introducing a modified version of the Black-Scholes equation, which they call the sub-Black-Scholes and supra-Black-Scholes equations. These modified equations introduce new terms that account for additional factors influencing option prices, such as the diffusivity of the underlying asset and the reaction rate.
Using the powerful computational software Maple, the researchers were able to derive analytical solutions to these modified equations in the case of the European put option. And the solutions they found are truly fascinating. They involve a special class of mathematical functions called Kummer functions and associated Laguerre polynomials.
That's right, Jen. These solutions are not only theoretically important but also have practical implications. By expressing the option prices in terms of these special functions, the researchers were able to capture the nuances of the financial markets in a way that the standard Black-Scholes equation simply couldn't.
To illustrate the power of these new solutions, the researchers conducted a series of numerical experiments, comparing the results with the standard Black-Scholes formula. And what they found was really intriguing.
Indeed. In the sub-Black-Scholes case, where the modified equation has a lower diffusivity than the standard Black-Scholes, the option prices computed using the new solution were lower than those predicted by the classical model. Conversely, in the supra-Black-Scholes case, where the modified equation has a higher diffusivity, the option prices were higher than the classical values.
This is a fascinating finding, Tom. It suggests that the modified Black-Scholes equations can better capture the real-world complexities of the financial markets, leading to more accurate option pricing. And the use of special functions like Kummer functions and Laguerre polynomials is a brilliant way to tackle this problem.
Absolutely, Jen. The researchers have not only provided new analytical solutions, but they've also laid the groundwork for a more robust and flexible approach to option pricing. This could have significant implications for traders, portfolio managers, and anyone involved in the world of finance.
Absolutely. One of the most exciting aspects of this research is the potential for it to be applied in the field of quantum econophysics. The researchers draw parallels between the techniques used in this paper and the solutions to certain quantum mechanical problems, such as the hydrogen atom and the Morse potential.
That's a really intriguing connection, Jen. The idea of using quantum-inspired methods to model financial phenomena is a rapidly emerging area of study, and this paper seems to be at the forefront of that movement. It's a fascinating example of how advances in one field can cross-pollinate and inspire new approaches in another.
Definitely, Tom. This research not only represents an important contribution to mathematical finance but also highlights the power of interdisciplinary collaboration and the potential for surprising insights to emerge when we combine tools and perspectives from different domains.
Absolutely. As we wrap up this episode, I'm left with a deep appreciation for the creativity and rigor of the researchers behind this work. They've tackled a long-standing challenge in finance with a unique and innovative approach, and the implications of their findings could be far-reaching.
I couldn't agree more, Tom. This is the kind of research that really exemplifies the exciting frontiers of science, where new discoveries can have a profound impact on the real world. I'm excited to see what other insights emerge from this field of study in the years to come.
Me too, Jen. Thanks for joining me on this journey through the fascinating world of modified Black-Scholes equations and European put options. It's been a real pleasure diving into this cutting-edge research with you.
Absolutely, Tom. This has been a fantastic episode, and I'm sure our listeners have gained a deeper appreciation for the power of mathematical innovation and its applications in the financial realm. Until next time, this is Jen signing off.
And this is Tom. Thanks for tuning in to the Quantum Leap podcast. We'll see you next time. Outro music. Upbeat jingle plays. Are you tired of option pricing models that just don't capture the true complexity of the financial markets?
Introducing Tamarin LaGuerre, the future of option pricing.
Our revolutionary sub-Black-Scholes and supra-Black-Scholes models use advanced mathematical functions to finally get option prices right.
Tired of your put options being undervalued? With Tamarin LaGuerre, you'll be pricing them up, up, and away.
And if you're worried about those pesky diffusivity and reaction rate factors, we've got you covered. Our models account for all the real-world complexities.
So stop settling for outdated Black-Scholes and switch to Tamarin LaGuerre, the option pricing solution that's out of this world.
Visit tamarinlaguerre.com to learn more and start pricing your options with quantum-inspired precision.
Tamarin LaGuerre, because your put options deserve more than just a Black-Scholes box. Jingle fades out.
Here is the podcast episode transcript. Intro. Welcome to Findings, the podcast that dives deep into cutting-edge research to uncover fascinating stories of scientific discovery. I'm Tom.
And I'm Jen. In this episode, we'll be exploring a research paper that investigates the complex world of transfer pricing manipulation and its impact on global taxation. The paper is titled Transfer Pricing Manipulation, Tax Penalty Cost and the Impact of Foreign Profit Taxation and is authored by Alex Augusto Tim Rathka.
Transfer pricing is a crucial issue for multinational corporations as they seek to optimize their global tax strategy by shifting profits between high tax and low tax jurisdictions. But this practice comes with risks as tax authorities are cracking down on suspected income shifting. Today, we'll delve into the factors that influence a company's optimal level of transfer pricing manipulation, including tax enforcement, market pricing dynamics, and the rules governing the taxation of foreign profits.
This is a complex topic, but the researchers have developed an insightful model to help us understand the key drivers at play. By the end of this episode, you'll have a deep appreciation for the intricate balance multinational enterprises must strike between minimizing their tax burden and avoiding harsh penalties. Let's get started, body.
The core question this paper sets out to answer is, what determines the optimal level of transfer pricing manipulation for a multinational enterprise, or MNE, when they face the risk of tax penalties?
The researchers start by laying out the basic scenario. Imagine an MNE with a parent company in country 1 and a wholly owned subsidiary in country 2. The parent exports some of its output to the subsidiary, and they need to set a transfer price, P, for these intra-firm transactions.
If the tax rate in country 2 is higher than in country 1, the MNE has an incentive to set a higher transfer price, known as the high transfer price or HTP case. This allows them to shift profits from the high tax country 2 to the lower tax country 1, reducing their overall tax burden.
Conversely, if country 2 has a lower tax rate, the MNE will want to set a lower transfer price, the low transfer price or LTP case, to shift profits in the opposite direction.
To discourage this income shifting behavior, both countries impose non-negligible tax penalties, C, that will be charged if the tax authorities detect a significant difference between the transfer price P and an arm's length price parameter, per gram 3364.
The key insight here is that the incurrence of this tax penalty depends on two main factors. First, the probability alpha that the difference between P and per gram 3364 is large enough to be interpreted as tax evasion. And second, the probability phi that the tax authorities in each country actually detect and penalize the mispricing.
The researchers model the endogenous probability alpha as a function that reflects the MNE's ability to manipulate the transfer price within a range of acceptable arm's length prices. Specifically, alpha increases as the transfer price P moves further away from the central arm's length parameter per gram 3364, approaching a value of 1 at the upper and lower limits of the accepted price range.
In contrast, the exogenous probability phi captures the tax enforcement efforts of each country's government, such as the rigor of audits and the stringency of transfer pricing regulations. This phi factor is something the MNE cannot directly influence through their pricing decisions.
By incorporating these two distinct probability components, the researchers are able to tease apart the impacts of the MNE's own transfer pricing choices versus the government's tax enforcement actions on the expected tax penalty cost.
Differentiating the MNE's objective function with respect to the transfer price P, the researchers derive an optimal condition that provides some fascinating insights. First, the magnitude of the tax rate differential between the two countries remains the prime driver of the income shifting incentive.
However, the denominator of this optimal condition contains the product of the exogenous probability phi and the tax penalty parameter z. This shows that increasing the tax enforcement efforts, through higher audit rates or stiffer penalties, can effectively discourage transfer pricing manipulation by reducing the optimal distance between P and per gram 3364.
Interestingly, the model also reveals that the width of the arm's length price range, defined by the limits Pmin and Pmax, plays a crucial role. The broader this range, the more flexibility the MNE has to justify a transfer price that shifts profits, as long as it falls within the accepted market parameters.
In other words, if the tax authorities have a hard time precisely defining the appropriate arm's length price, the MNE can exploit that ambiguity to its advantage. This highlights a potential limitation of the arm's length principle as a tool to curb income shifting.
The researchers then take this basic model and examine how the optimal transfer pricing manipulation is affected by different rules for the taxation of foreign profits in the MNE's home country. This is a critical factor, as it can influence the incentive to shift profits across borders.
Let's start with the proportional tax credit rule. Here, the home country taxes the MNE's foreign profits when they are repatriated, but allows a tax credit for the foreign taxes paid. The key finding is that the rate of profit repatriation, B, is negatively related to the optimal level of transfer pricing manipulation.
In other words, the higher the rate of repatriation, the less incentive the MNE has to engage in transfer pricing tricks. This makes intuitive sense. If more of the foreign profits are brought back home and taxed there, the potential gains from income shifting are reduced.
The limited tax credit rule presents a more nuanced picture. This rule also allows tax credits for foreign taxes paid, but limits them to the home country's taxation of the repatriated foreign profits. The researchers show that this rule only discourages transfer pricing manipulation if the repatriation rate exceeds a certain threshold.
Below that threshold, the MNE can still manage the repatriation to offset the home country taxes, minimizing the impact on their optimal transfer price. So the limited tax credit rule appears to be a less effective deterrent compared to the proportional credit approach.
The final rule they examine is the foreign tax deduction. Here, the home country simply allows the foreign taxes paid to be deducted from the domestic taxable income. Interestingly, the researchers find that this rule may actually induce transfer pricing manipulation if the repatriation rate is high enough.
The reason is that the total tax burden on the foreign profits can end up exceeding the domestic tax rate, creating an incentive for the MNE to shift profits back to the home country through a higher transfer price, even if the home country has the higher tax rate.
Wow, the nuances of these foreign profit taxation rules are really fascinating. It's clear that policymakers have to carefully consider how each rule will influence a multinational's incentives around income shifting. A one-size-fits-all approach doesn't seem to be effective.
Absolutely, and the researchers didn't stop there. They also examined the impact of import tariffs on this dynamic. They found that tariffs can further complicate the picture, sometimes reinforcing the effects of the different taxation rules, and other times attenuating them.
It's amazing how many factors come into play when trying to design an optimal system to curb transfer pricing manipulation. This research does an excellent job of unpacking the complexities and trade-offs involved. I'm really impressed by the researchers' ability to develop a model that captures so many of the nuances.
Me too, and I think the key takeaway is that tax authorities face a real challenge in this area. Simply requiring the arm's length principle isn't enough, as MNEs can exploit ambiguities in defining the appropriate market price range. Combining stringent enforcement with carefully crafted foreign profit taxation rules seems to be critical.
Absolutely. This is a hard problem to solve, but studies like this can really help policymakers understand the landscape and make more informed decisions. The researchers have provided a valuable framework for analyzing the factors at play, reflections.
As an economist, I found this paper to be a really thought-provoking exploration of the tension between corporations' tax optimization strategies and government's efforts to protect their tax base. The researchers' modeling approach is impressive in its sophistication, but they also do a great job of translating the complex concepts into an accessible narrative.
I agree, Jen. What struck me most was how the researchers were able to tease apart the distinct roles of the MNE's own pricing decisions versus the government's tax enforcement actions. That distinction is crucial for understanding the levers that can be pulled to discourage income shifting.
Absolutely. And I was really intrigued by their finding that the ambiguity around the arm's length price range can actually work in the MNE's favor. It highlights a potential weakness in that foundational principle of transfer pricing regulation. Policymakers clearly have their work cut out for them in closing those loopholes.
Yeah, that was a fascinating insight. It makes me wonder if there are alternative approaches that could be more effective than the arm's length standard. Perhaps a formulary apportionment system, where profits are allocated based on factors like sales, assets, and employment, rather than relying on subjective pricing benchmarks.
That's an interesting idea. The researchers do note that the OECD is exploring ways to strengthen the arm's length principle and enhance CFC rules, but they acknowledge the limitations of those approaches. Your suggestion of a more objective formula-based system is certainly worth considering.
Definitely. And I think studies like this are so valuable in informing that policy debate. By rigorously modeling the incentives and trade-offs, researchers can help identify the most effective levers for curbing transfer pricing abuses while still allowing legitimate business practices.
Absolutely. This is a complex issue with no easy solutions, but research that increases our understanding of the dynamics at play is crucial. I'm really glad we had the chance to dive into this paper. It's certainly given me a much deeper appreciation for the challenges faced by both multinational corporations and tax authorities. Conclusion.
In summary, this paper provides a nuanced and insightful analysis of the factors that shape a multinational enterprise's optimal level of transfer pricing manipulation. Key drivers include the tax rate differential between countries, the stringency of tax enforcement, the ambiguity around appropriate arm's length pricing, and the specific rules governing the taxation of foreign profits.
The researchers' model demonstrates that simply requiring the arm's length principle isn't enough. Policymakers need to consider the entire ecosystem of incentives and constraints facing these large, globally operating firms. Careful design of foreign profit taxation rules, combined with robust tax enforcement, appears to be crucial for curbing abusive income shifting practices.
Absolutely. This is a complex issue with no easy answers, but studies like this are invaluable in helping us better understand the dynamics at play. As globalization continues to shape the economic landscape, these transfer pricing challenges will only become more pressing. Insights from rigorous research will be key to informing effective policy responses.
Agreed. This podcast has certainly opened my eyes to the nuances and challenges involved. I'm left with a deep appreciation for the balancing act that multinational enterprises must perform, and the equally complex task facing policymakers tasked with maintaining the integrity of national tax systems. It's a fascinating area of study, and I'm grateful to the researchers for shedding light on it.
Well said, Jen. This has been a fascinating deep dive into an important and complex issue. We hope our listeners have enjoyed this journey through the world of transfer pricing manipulation and international tax policy. There's certainly more to explore, but this is a great starting point. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll catch you next time on Findings.
Here's a quirky and humorous commercial for a new company that emerged from the research on transfer pricing manipulation, Upbeat Jingle Plays. Are you a multinational corporation looking to minimize your global tax burden?
Well, have we got the service for you? Introducing Tax Tricks Inc., your one-stop shop for all your transfer pricing needs.
That's right, folks. At Tax Tricks, our team of creative accountants and shady tax lawyers will work tirelessly to help you shift those profits around the world faster than you can say arm's length pricing.
Need to magically transform your high tax profits into low tax gains? Tax Tricks can work that accounting voodoo.
Want to exploit those fuzzy transfer pricing guidelines to the max? Our experts will push that range of acceptable prices to the absolute limit.
And with our revolutionary Profit Teleporter 3000, we can virtually transport your earnings across international borders in the blink of an eye. No customs hassle, no taxes, just pure, unadulterated profit.
So if you're a multinational behemoth looking to avoid your fair share of taxes, call 1-800-TAX-MAGIC and let the wizards at Tax Tricks work their financial sorcery.
Tax Tricks, because paying your taxes is for suckers. Jingle plays as the commercial ends.
Here is a detailed podcast transcript about the research paper Dynamic Mode Decomposition for Financial Trading Strategies. Hello and welcome to the Cutting Edge Discoveries podcast. I'm Tom, and with me is my co-host Jen.
Hi there. Today we're diving into an intriguing new paper that explores the application of Dynamic Mode Decomposition, or DMD, to financial trading strategies. The paper is titled Dynamic Mode Decomposition for Financial Trading Strategies and was authored by Jordan Mann and J. Nathan Cutts.
This is a really fascinating study that demonstrates how a mathematical technique borrowed from fluid dynamics can be used to uncover hidden patterns in financial market data and inform profitable trading decisions. The key idea is that the stock market can be viewed as a complex, dynamic system, and DMD allows the researchers to extract the most important temporal structures or modes driving the market's behavior.
Exactly. The DMD method decomposes financial data, like stock prices, into a set of dynamic modes that capture the essential features of the market's underlying dynamics. By analyzing the growth rates and frequencies associated with these modes, the researchers were able to develop an algorithmic trading strategy that aims to capitalize on transient, evanescent signals in the data.
That's right. The DMD approach is fundamentally different from traditional statistical or time series analysis techniques. Instead of fitting the data to a predefined model, DMD reconstructs the dynamics in an equation-free manner, allowing it to handle the complex, non-stationary nature of financial markets.
The key steps of the DMD algorithm are: 1. Arrange the financial data into a matrix of snapshots over time. 2. Compute the singular value decomposition of this matrix to identify the dominant modes. 3. Determine the linear operator that best maps one snapshot to the next. 4. Use the eigenvalues of this operator to predict the future evolution of the modes.
So in essence, the DMD method is providing a data-driven, low-rank approximation of the underlying market dynamics. By identifying the modes with the largest growth rates, the researchers can develop trading strategies that aim to capitalize on these predictable, short-term fluctuations in stock prices.
One of the really clever aspects of this work is how the researchers incorporate a machine learning component to adaptively optimize the trading algorithm. They train the method on historical data to determine the optimal sampling window, how much past data to use, and prediction window, how far into the future to forecast, for different market sectors.
That's a great point. The researchers found that certain sectors, like biotechnology and transportation, exhibited clear trading hotspots, regions in the sampling, prediction parameter space where the DMD method was exceptionally accurate at forecasting future price movements. Other sectors didn't have these obvious hotspots, and the trading algorithm performed less reliably.
Absolutely. By automatically identifying these sweet spots and adjusting the trading windows accordingly, the DMD-based strategy was able to significantly outperform simply buying and holding a benchmark index like the S&P 500. The annualized returns ranged from around 19% to over 21% in the best-performing sectors.
That's an impressive result, especially when you consider the relatively simple, data-driven nature of the DMD approach. It just goes to show the power of uncovering the underlying dynamical structures in complex systems like financial markets. The researchers were able to extract predictive signals that more traditional methods likely would have missed.
Exactly. And the potential applications extend well beyond just stock trading. The DMD framework is quite general and has been successfully applied to all sorts of complex, dynamical systems in engineering, physics, and biology. I could easily see this type of equation-free, data-driven modeling becoming an invaluable tool for making sense of other messy, high-dimensional datasets.
Definitely. This work is a great example of how cross-pollination between different scientific disciplines can lead to groundbreaking innovations. Taking a technique originally developed for fluid dynamics and adapting it to finance, that's the kind of creative thinking that drives scientific progress.
Absolutely. And I love how the researchers were able to make the DMD method so intuitive and accessible, even for those of us without a deep mathematical background. By focusing on the key concepts and the practical applications, they've really demystified a powerful analytical tool.
Agreed. This paper does an excellent job of highlighting the promise of DMD while also acknowledging its limitations. The method works best in sectors with clear trading hotspots, but struggles when those patterns aren't as evident. There's still more work to be done to fully understand the strengths and weaknesses of this approach.
Definitely. But overall, this is a really compelling study that opens up exciting new possibilities at the intersection of dynamical systems theory, machine learning, and finance. I'm excited to see how this line of research develops and whether DMD-based strategies can become a valuable tool in the investor's toolkit.
Absolutely. This was a fascinating dive into a cutting-edge application of dynamic mode decomposition. Thanks for joining me, Jen. I'm sure our listeners are as intrigued by this work as we are.
Absolutely, Tom. This was a really insightful discussion. I'm proud of how we were able to break down the complex mathematics and algorithms in an engaging, accessible way. Exploring the real-world impact of this research has been a highlight.
I couldn't agree more. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Be sure to subscribe to Cutting Edge Discoveries to catch our next episode. Until then, keep exploring the frontiers of science and discovery.
Thanks everyone, and have a great day.
Upbeat jingle plays. Are you tired of the same old buy and hold investing strategies? Sick of watching the market roller coaster leave you queasy?
Then you need to try Dynamic Fortunes, the hedge fund that's harnessing the power of fluid dynamics to outwit the stock market.
That's right, our patented dynamic mode decomposition algorithm analyzes the hidden rhythms and patterns pulsing through the financial veins of Wall Street.
We extract the essential modes driving market movements, then ride the waves of short-term price fluctuations to deliver outsized returns.
It's like surfing the stock tides, my friends. Let Dynamic Fortunes show you how to catch the perfect trading swell.
Don't just buy and hold, buy, sell, and profit. Sign up today and receive a free set of neon-colored short shorts, perfect for your new life as a dynamic day trader.
Dynamic Fortunes, making waves in the market. Visit dynamicfortunes.com to learn more. Jingle intensifies.
Woo! Fist pumps.